Good evening. I hope you're well. Please join me in saying the Anabatoch. Anabatoch. Gedula chemincha. Tatirura. Alephet gimel yutaf tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, the same gematria as the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun. These six letters form two Hebrew words, kra, which means tear up, satan, the negative force that gives us free will. Tear up the satan. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, and as a reminder to guard the entryway to our soul, our gates, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa or sustenance. Sustenance is our fulfillment of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin, the second sequence in that six letters, is a sequence of letters that we utilize to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barhem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem betetresh saritav gimel. This sequence of letters connects us to the sphera of Netzach. Netzach, part of its essence is eternal victory. Where in our life do we need victory? And are we willing to settle for victory, partial victory, victory that isn't eternal? Or do we choose to want and are willing to put out the effort to connect to eternal victory? Kachin kadosh erov tuvcha na'el adatach. Het kuf bet tet nun ayin. This sequence of letters connects us to the sphera of Hod. Part of the essence of Hod is appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness. Where in our life do we need to express, and to whom do we need to express, greater thankfulness, greater appreciation? Yachid Geah Lamcha pele zochre kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence of letters we utilize to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot. This sequence of letters we utilize during the month of Tammuz. The two letters of the astrological signs of the month of Tammuz are the Chet and the Taf. The Taf is the letter that created the Lavana, the moon. And the Chet is the letter that created the constellation Sartan, or the crab. One of the things to keep in mind about the crab is that it is incapable of walking directly forward. It must move zigzag style, back and forth. That's part of the energy that we are receiving during this month. And we have to realize that our inclination will to be zigzag instead of moving straight ahead. The sequence of letters of this seventh verse has the gematria of 506 in the last four letters and connects us to the consciousness of Ahavatinam, unconditional love. At the same time, we're connecting to the 400 of the first two letters of the sequence. And the 400 are the four worlds in their perfected state of 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. 4 times 10 times 10 is equal to 400. This is the consciousness that we need to overcome the energy of Tammuz. And the last verse we say in a whisper. Now I'm going to read from the Zohar, from the section, the Parasha of Hukat, the Parasha, the section number 8, Wisdom is Good with an Inheritance. It's verse number 49. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kodenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kodeneihu. Petach v'yamar, tova chachma, im nachala v'yoter, l'roe hashemesh, I lav, deha itgalya, milada la yadana. Maika amar, tova chachma, da hi chachma, Dehi tachat hashamish kursiya mitakna le tova hachma im nachala ya'a v'shapira chad ihi sharya imchon di Yisrael di nun nachala di avda di la le'it kashra va. He opens the discussion with the verse, Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is more profit to them that see the sun. A verse from Kohelet, chapter 7. If this matter had not been revealed to me, I would have no idea of its meaning. Wisdom is good refers to Chokhmah, that is underneath the sun, which is a throne that is prepared for the sun that is Zeranpin, which is Chachma in Malchut. meaning the lower Chokhmah, referred to as under the sun, and called the throne. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, means it is well and good when Chokhmah, which is Malchut, dwells with Israel, so they will be attached to her, since they are the inheritance and lot of Malchut. How can Chokhmah be below the sun? The sun is Tiferet. Chokhmah is clearly above Tiferet. But there is a lower Chokhmah, and that is the fulfillment of the desire to receive, known as Malchut. As the four phases teaches us, the purpose of creation is to create Malchut. And lower Chokhmah fulfills Malchut. Excuse me. That is this understanding of what this verse is talking about. It's beginning to explain that various verses in our Torah and Tanakh have many different levels of understanding. If we read the verse simply, wisdom is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good. Of course wisdom is good. But what's the inheritance? That's lower Chokhmah. That's wisdom underneath the sun. That's wisdom whose purpose is to fulfill Malchut and eliminate lack in our world. Does anybody have any questions before I start discussing tonight's mitzvah? Well, this is an interesting mitzvah. It is mitzvah number 11, to emulate his ways. And its source verse is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. And it's only a partial part of that verse. And it also leaves room for much misunderstanding. It's a mitzvah that applies to all times, both when the temple exists and when it doesn't, to all places, both inside Israel and outside Israel, and all people. All people is not a good explanation. All people means all Jewish men and women above the age of 13 and 12, respectively. It's saying that it's not time-bound, and so women are obligated as well. Children should be taught to emulate his ways, but it's not doing the mitzvah until after they have reached the level, the age, the ability to share with a level of soul called the Ruach, which takes place at the age of 13 for boys and 12 for girls. So let's read the verse from the Chumash. Chapter 28 of Devarim, verse 9. The operating phrase is at the end of the verse, and it says, and you go in his ways. And that's been transformed into emulate his ways. But we will talk about that. Let's look at the whole verse. Hashem will confirm you for himself as a holy people, as he swore to you, if you observe the commandments of Hashem your God, and you go in his ways. The Hebrew word for ways is derech. And the word for go that is used, let me look it up real quick, because I had done that earlier. Halasafta. Go in his ways. Means the halakha and derech. And let's understand a little bit about those two words. There is a famous phrase from Perkei Avot. Derech Eretz precedes Torah. Obviously, I have mixed words because it's I didn't give you the full Hebrew for the word precedes. But Derech Eretz is usually translated as the customs of the place. And sometimes it's translated as manners. Manners precedes Torah. Understanding ways, what is derech? The ways of the land precede Torah. It's more important that people judge Jewish people favorably than it is for you to throw the rules of the mitzvot in their faces. Why would that be? It's very simple, really. People judge God by the way the Jewish people act. If you don't show Derech Eretz, knowledge of the ways of the land, respect for the customs of the people you live around, if you don't show these normal attitudes, and you say, I'm a Jew, I'm obligated to these mitzvot, that's what's important, then these people are going to judge God by your actions. And they're not going to judge God favorably. It's something for us to constantly keep in mind. So we are to go in his ways, which the book that I'm reading from, and it's not an uncommon translation, indicates that we need to emulate his ways. Well, I think it's clear that his means God. So what does it mean to emulate God's ways? When one reads the Torah, the Chumash, we get a lot of language that tells us God acts like a person. He gets angry. He gets upset. He will curse. He will cause punishment. He will cause pain. All of these kinds of words that the Torah teaches us. Are those the ways of God, just like a human being? Or what are the ways of God? Is God spiteful? God forbid. What are the ways of God? Without learning Kabbalah, you can talk, you can study all of the levels of the Torah, without the sod, without the secret, without the Kabbalah level, it is very difficult to understand how does one emulate God. Emulate means to act like. Well, maybe it's okay that I just think like God. God takes care of everybody in a very truthful manner, in a very just manner. We have a belief system that says that the world around us, even though it does not look just, is just. It is perfectly just. That's one of the ways of God. One of the ways of Hashem is to act perfectly just towards everybody else. Does that mean that if he does something to hurt me, because last week I didn't loan him my tool when he asked, when I asked him to borrow something, that he should treat me the same way and not loan me the tool even though I needed much more than he did. I was using it as, after all, and I don't have to give it up when I'm using it. But he's not using his tool today. Why doesn't he just let me use it? And he's emulating God's ways by saying, last week you didn't let me borrow it, so I won't let you borrow it this week. Is that emulating God's way? What is this mitzvah? What is it trying to teach us? What is it about? Let's suppose you have a business to run. And let's suppose you have an employee who has agreed to work for a specific wage and extends his breaks and extends his lunch. In what way are you supposed to emulate God? In what way are you supposed to emulate Hashem's ways? Does Hashem punish this person? I don't know, does he? If we live in a perfectly just world, this person will get his just rewards. A perfectly just world means if I do good, I get good. If I do bad, I get bad. What does it mean to emulate his ways? Kabbalah teaches us that God is sharing. To emulate God's ways means to share. To think about the other person. To be aware at every instant of every day what the other person is doing. To emulate God's way is to be aware that the non-Jewish world judges the Jew based on what he does, not on what he says. To emulate God's ways means ultimately, over time, and with practice, it means to become God. Not even to become like God. And that's where the corruption comes in. Because the verse says, use the halakha to go in his ways. It doesn't mean emulate his ways. It means become him. act like he would act, and then live the phrase, fake it till you make it. If I act like God, eventually I become God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can be God? Except in one specific creative process, I can be God. I can never create something from nothing. That is the purview, the ability of God that has not been given to me or to any other human being. We are incapable of creating something from nothing. But once something is created by God, the rest of the formative process, the creative process, every person does. That's what our job is to do in this world, is to become like God until eventually we become God. Within the limit of the ability to create something from nothing, that will always be beyond us, because after all, we are not God. But anything less than that, we are capable of becoming by cleansing ourselves and by acting like God. Excuse me. What does it mean to emulate God's ways? What are God's ways? One of God's name is Emet, truth. One of God's ways is to share goodness. One of God's ways is to be against pain and suffering of other people. Well, how can we have justice, one of God's ways, if the person deserves pain and suffering and doesn't get it? How can we balance truth when that truth divides people, which is not a trait of God, because God's ways is unification, becoming oneness with each other. How do we learn to emulate God's word and God's ways? How do we emulate God's ways when we cheat in our businesses, when we have scales that are off and serve our profit? How do we emulate God's ways when we go into the synagogue and start talking in the middle of the Amidah or the Kaddish? Or we say, my way is the only way. Is this emulating God's ways? But this is the way the world has acted for 3,500 years, ever since the beginning of the Torah. Emulating God's ways, a mitzvah of the Torah, a positive mitzvah of the Torah, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to handle it? It's always a simple intention, a simple kavana, to know what is the right thing to do. Ask yourself a simple question. what is the best thing for the other person? With respect to the oil spill in the Gulf, what should BP do? Clean it up, of course. How do you clean up oil? The technology exists, but it doesn't exist on this scale. There are problems to be overcome. But how do I minimize my fines that I will get from the government for spilling oil? How do I minimize the pain and the suffering of my company? How do I minimize the pain and the suffering of the people who live in the area, of the businesses that are harmed by their normal summer season? What is God's way? What should BP do? What should anybody do? How do I emulate God's way? It's a very simple answer to a very difficult question. The simple answer is to emulate God's way . It means becoming like God. It means recognizing and having the thought beforehand, what is best for the other person? Not what's best for BP, not what's best for the Gulf Coast, not what's best for the people who are damaged. Emulating God's ways means to ask the question, what is the best thing for them to overcome their problems? What is the best thing that can happen to them? And that's what I will do. That's what BP will do. What is at stake here? A president's reputation? A company's reputation? What is at stake here? So I ask you, can you tell the truth if it separates people? How important is the truth? God lied to Abraham when Sarah is sitting in the doorway listening. And they're still in their 13-month separation. The woman has the obligation. She can move into the apartment and rent it. And she has the obligation . What is her obligation? To say the Amidah. To work at not reacting to people. What is the obligation? God lied to Sarah and to Abraham. Otherwise, if he had not lied, Abraham would not have followed through. He would not have embarrassed his wife, Sarah, about being so old and having a baby. So now, God has lied, but we know that God's name is truth. How could it be a lie? It's not a lie. But from our limited perspective, it appears to be a lie. This is the important aspect to remember. To emulate God's ways means to think first about the other person. Don't depend on your neighbor to do your work. You do your work. You emulate God's way. You learn to share. You learn to understand the difference between giving, which is when you're thinking about yourself, and sharing, which is when you're thinking about what's best for the other person, irregardless if BP goes bankrupt or not. Irregardless of what's best for the other person. Think about what's best and then do it for him. Fake it till you make it. Share, don't give. Think about what the difference is at all times. Why are you doing what you're doing? That's the idea of emulating God's ways. Follow the halakha. That's what it's there for, as a guideline. That's why the word halakha comes from the root that speaks of pathway, of roadway. Follow the path. Understand that there's still judgment that has to be considered when you're following a halakha. That if the halakha will cause pain to another human being, then it can't be the halakha of truth in that situation. It is always relative to what is going on. Always remember, you cannot stand up and say, I know the way. You can only stand up and say, I know the way in this situation. Because knowing the way will change with the situation. This is the important aspect of emulating God's ways. Knowing that what is important is unity, not being right. Let me repeat that statement because it's not said enough, and when it is said, it isn't believed and isn't learned. The answer is not about being right. The answer is about creating unity. There is nothing else but unity. Nothing else. But I'm right. I know 2 + 2 = 4. I know that's the truth. But if that statement will cause someone to be in pain, it's not truth. It's total illusion. How can that be? How can truth not be the ultimate goal? In my own life, I have struggled to find truth. I have searched for truth. And then I found the Kabbalah. And I learned that the ultimate goal is not truth. There is a higher level of consciousness than truth. And that is unity. Emulating God's ways is to follow the path until you achieve unity. frequently that means faking it, doing what you think the halakha is telling you to do, until by your actions, your external actions, your internal thoughts begin to change. And that only comes through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. This is the nature of emulating God's ways. Unity. Continuity. Unity. This is what we are to do. This is what we are to be. This is the mitzvah of emulate his ways. Become God by doing what is best for the other person. I own a 20-room mansion, but 19 of those rooms are going empty. Why didn't I invite the homeless in? I didn't have time. I was running my business. I didn't have time. Why don't I emulate God's ways? Does God ever say I don't have time? Does God ever say I didn't do? Does God ever say I'm too tired? Emulate his ways. I'm going to draw to a close this conversation. Does anybody have questions about what I've been saying? I could talk for many more hours with many more examples of what does it mean to emulate God's way. Each of the mitzvot is emulating God in some aspect. Each of them. But the only truth is when we become God, everything else is just a process of learning it. Shabbat Shalom. Does anybody have any questions? Shalom.